I think the army is not just bringing me as a divisional secretary, but it's accepting some of the ideas that I have. It's accepting my accent. It's accepting my love for God.
Hi, and welcome back to the Prepare Podcast. For episode 42, Captain Bersa Vera from the Northern Division joins us. Last June, Captain Bersa was appointed as the Divisional Secretary of the Northern Division. On this episode, she shares about her ongoing faith and leadership development as she lets God lead her life in new ways. We hope you enjoy this episode. Welcome to the Prepare Podcast, Captain Bersa Vera.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for having me here.
Yay. So glad you're here, calling in from the Northern Division, from your office, where you are serving an appointment as the Divisional Secretary.
Yeah, this is my first time working at Division Headquarters, so yeah, Divisional Secretary for the Northern Division.
And that started last June,
correct? Last June, yeah, for the first time in my life.
So in my research, it shows that the 6 years before that, you were at the Blue Island Corps in Metro, right?
Correct.
And then before that...
I was the youth officer at the Omaha Croc.
Okay, and that was your first appointment?
That was my first appointment as officer, yeah.
So you had finished training in...
In 2010.
So you're going on 9 years this year?
Yes.
Okay. So, and before that, and I'll ask you a few questions about this later on, you were serving, did you say as an envoy?
As an envoy for 10 years in Kansas and Western Missouri Division.
Okay, great.
I was the director for Hispanic Ministries.
Okay. All right. Well, so now that we kind of know your ministry roles over the years, why don't you go ahead and introduce our listeners to Bersa?
Yeah, I'm Bersa. Yeah, Bersa. Bersa was I was born in Mexico City. I'm the first of four kids. My mom and dad. There are Salvation Army officers in Mexico now retired. I have out of my three brothers, one passed away 5 years ago. And now I am an aunt of four kids and a sister of two of my brothers, all of them younger than me. I love to play music. I play my guitar is the instrument of my preference. I play a little bit of band and I enjoy life. I love people around me. Every time I have a conference or you know, commissioning or it's one of the things that I love, being with people. Mm-hmm. I like to be a faithful friend, and I have a dog, a long-haired dachshund, 20 pounds, beautiful, you know, that I go home every night.
What's your dog's Chief. Name?
Chief. His name is Chief.
Does that have to do with Kansas City at all?
That's it. That's when I got him, and he used to have an arrowhead on his neck as a little baby. He lost it, but that's why his name is Chief. Mm. Yeah, Kansas City.
So you and I had a brief conversation before we hit record and just kind of touching on the different things we want to talk about today. And one of the first questions I had that I think definitely just going over your different ministry experiences lends itself to that. So have you always felt like you were a leader, even as a child and as a teenager?
The answer for that one is yes. You know, I always was the captain for the basketball team. I was always trying to defend those kids that they always are being making fun of at the school or, you know, the middle school. I always wanted to be in the front of everything. I don't know. Yeah, there's that. Yeah, everybody in church, they always wanted to give me the main characters for the Christmas play. Mm-hmm. Or as a teenager, everybody started telling me, "Oh, you are gonna be, you can be a really good officer. You can be anything you want to be. You can make it." And yeah, people always saw something on me even before I even seen anything.
Mm. Well, you're firstborn too, so sometimes that kind of just lends itself.
It just goes, right? With my three brothers, everybody always says, "You're the bossy one of all of you guys." It's like, well, they have to listen to me. If not, we get in trouble.
Mm-hmm. Well, as I like to quote my friend Sarah Johnson, some people need to be bossed.
If somebody has to do it, yeah.
So going back, looking at that time growing up in the Salvation Army, did you always want to be in ministry, or did you have another vocation in mind?
Well, at the age of maybe 14, in our office youth councils, I had a call to be an officer. I really didn't know how that was going to play, but I remember having that understanding in my mind. But I really didn't act on it. I put my name in the FOF list, but I started going to, you know, high school and then college, and I kind of forgot about becoming an officer. I wanted to learn English, so after finished college, I went to England and spent a year in England. Completely. Then after coming back from England, back to Mexico, I just wanted to go back to school. I put myself in business in college again. But then, no, an opportunity came to come to work to the United States in St. Louis. And I started doing kind of the work of the Salvation Army, but as a lay person. And then they gave me the envoy rank. And then I wanted just to do things, you know, with the church, but not necessarily as an officer. 8 years in my ministry in Kansas City, I started kind of getting uncomfortable, you know, there is nothing more to do here. I already put myself out of work. Everybody is in position. They're running the ministries. We had all over the division. And I guess God right there reminded me again, you know, you were called for something else, not just doing this. But by now I'm almost 30. And life has been busy, good, you know, working within in ministry. And then the light came back and made myself available to God. I was doing full-time ministry.
You were, yeah.
I guess God, in one of my devotional, God really said this to me, you're doing the right thing with the wrong tool. Mm. And it's like, oh, what does that mean? I'm hammering a nail with a shoe, you know? And am I doing ministry not the right way? So that's what I was trying to get in my mind. And when finally somebody said to me, "Would you like to go to the training college and be an officer?" I mean, that invitation came every year, and every year I was mad and upset. And when I said finally, "Sure, let's do it. Why not?" I couldn't believe what my mouth was saying, but at the same time, a peace came into my mind and into my gut. And I just said, yeah, this is the right thing. Is this the tool that God wants me to start using? Is this what God really wants me to And yeah, when that peace came and invaded my heart and my mind, I was like, okay, this is where God wants me to go, and this is what God wants me to do. I'll be obedient. Mm-hmm. And so that's how my life turned out after, you know, thinking back from when I was 14, 15, and now that I was almost 40-year-old woman, mm-hmm. 35, going to training college, was like, yeah, I see how God has been faithful. I can say that God has been guiding every step of my way. God has put people in front of me, taking care of me in a way that is unbelievable. How people put people in my past when I was a teenager that later on came as an adult forward to say, and seeing the hand of God molding my path is just unbelievable. Mm-hmm. How God has been orchestrating every single step. Mm-hmm. So when you ask about, have you seen you as a leader? It's like, no, I didn't see myself so well, but now I can see God orchestrating every step of my life through people, through places, through the ministry, it's just unbelievable how God has been faithful in my life, and that I can see it so clear. It's just more amazing.
So reflecting on God's work in your life, how do you keep growing and developing in your faith?
Well, one of the things that I wanted to do as a Salvation Army officer was to really have the balance of the business, and I have a business management BA. So as a part of my growth, I put myself into a master's in theology. So for the last almost 4 years, I've been in classes, and with that, you know, a lot of reading, a lot of searching, soul searching. And so just finished my master's degree in December. Of course, the classes provide all kind of books, and now I'm trying to read book by book. And of my 4 years, I have a library of, I don't know, 300 books through my years in this master of theology. And now I am trying to dissect them by one, reading slowly and not such on a hurry. I do love to study my Bible, and I try to keep up with Bible studies on a daily basis. And my, you know, one tool that I'm using a lot right now is the media right now. Mm-hmm. There are some really good Bible studies there that I am... and they're short, you know, something to keep me up, really. Going through those video Bible studies are just really good. And, you know, I take them from some really good speakers through those videos. And those are the things, and, you know, mm-hmm. constantly attending churches and helping the core, and having conversations with my friends on theology and doctrines, points, and stuff like that. I think iron sharpens iron. Mm-hmm. So I try to put myself in those conversations very often. Mm-hmm. Those are the things that I'm doing right now.
We used Instagram, or yesterday I put your picture on Instagram in the stories and use this feature where people can ask questions. And so I just said, does anyone have a question they would like me to ask Captain Bersa? And one of the questions came back to ask you if you practice, or what is your favorite, if you practice any spiritual disciplines, what is your favorite discipline that you use?
I like to pray. It's the constant prayer. Mm-hmm. You know, the constant, before I go to a meeting, I do the prayer. The contemplation is another one, you know, just to see. I'm in a state right now in Minnesota that the skies are so, so starry, and there's snow falling, and you know, to see the amount of snow, the contemplation of God's nature, or the eagles. You see the eagles around here flying, or even, you know, just to see my dog. It's like, oh my God, how can God be so detailed in, you know, creating this face so cute, you know, or seeing people around me and the children, you know, the contemplation. That's another thing that I am, you know, in awe when take it seriously. Just sitting outside of my, in my little patio, or seeing, you know, as I go and see the snow. Contemplation is one of the things that right now I am practicing in a more constant. Those are the things.
Yeah. So going along with just other ways to develop yourself, how do you keep growing and developing as a leader?
Well, in this position that I have as the divisional secretary, one of my main work is the job that we do in the Twin Cities. And the Twin Cities have a major, I don't know, there is something here in the city that companies, major companies, have established themselves, their headquarters in the Twin Cities, either in Minneapolis or St. Paul. And there is right now the opportunity for me to attend every first Tuesday something that the University of Minnesota is providing. The major companies nationally, they come and their CEO, they speak to all these business people and how their things are going, are being changed, how they are being molded, and the changes that they had to do to continue with what the society was requesting out of them. So that's an opportunity that I'm having right now to attend these conferences. You know, even my division commander loves to send me out to meet new business people in the community and sitting down. Last night I was with the mayor of St. Paul and trying to dream with him how to shape the city of St. Paul. And I'm just able to sit down with all these leaders in the community and give my ideas and give my perspective as a Latin person and as a Salvation Army officer, as a church member, and being able to give my few sentences. It's just, that is leadership development right there in action. Being able to sit down with, you know, our charge or development people. Just in 2 weeks, I'm going to be in Chicago for the development department. And there's a lot of training on how to bring money into the Salvation Army, how to develop. And you know, I'm trying to take this not just for the side of the business on bringing money, but also on how to apply the same ideas and for church growth. And I think there is a lot of learning as a church that we have to do from the business side. I keep saying this, you know, that some of these conferences that I've been going with the first Tuesday, these companies, the CEO for Target, the CEO for Best Buy, yesterday was the CEO for General Mills. They were saying how important it is to bring diversity into our workplaces and bring people to sit at the table to give their opinion and to give. And I keep saying to myself, why do we have us as a Salvation Army go and take an example of what the society is doing instead of us as a church affecting society. So I want to learn the business side and maybe start affecting our churches and to make sure that we are implementing. You know, in development, there is a lot of phone calls and follow-up emails and coffee time and meal time that we do, our people in development do with donors. If we do that with donors for them to continue giving and providing the monetary help that we do for the, in the Salvation Army, how much more we need to spend time with our soldiers that are here and people that are coming through our doors to seek a fellowship with God and with us. How much more we need to do that. So that's what I'm learning, and I'm trying to implement in both of the sides, you know? I have that chance, so hey, let's do it.
Another question I wanted to ask, and well, it'll be the last one for our conversation. As I had asked it to our guest last month, Lieutenant Colonel Patty Richardson, your boss, she was on this show. And then so is Captain Kelsey Marino, who has worked exclusively in urban settings in Detroit, and asked them both, you know, going along with what we were just talking about, like how can the Salvation Army continue to leverage opportunity that would result in equal representation in our church? What can we do that's going to keep putting people, you know, for example, like in your case, you've been put in this position. How can we recruit more leaders that will result in equal representation?
But I think one of the first things that we need to do is open our eyes, you know. I am all about church growth, and one of the things that I see in our army is that we are a small army in congregational speaking. Our congregations are really small in many of our core, and I'm okay with having small pockets, let's just say that, you know. Okay, if I have a congregation of, let's say, just Hispanic, 20 Hispanic in my congregation, I'm okay with 20. Let's say that we're okay and that God is happy with 20. I don't know if God is happy with 20, but let's say that he is happy with 20. But if my core is in a place where I can have 20 Black or 20 Lao people, and or 20 Indians, why not having 20-20-20, and then 20-20-20, you know, little by little, we really become a church of 100 people. And then from there, really start putting your eyes on those little kids that they may have the quality. You know who are the kids that have leadership or they could become a big leader. They have the potential. And start investing on them. Start giving opportunities to see a bigger world, a bigger army. You know, help them, go attend with them to go to school, try to see why are they not good in school if they have the potential, and keep grooming them all the way until, you know, even college, and support them, support their activities, go with them, sit down with them, cry with them. Really, somebody did that for me, you know, as a young kid. They said, Versa, you are capable of doing whatever. Dream big, because you can make it. You can. You have it in you. And if you're obedient to God, you will do all the things that you are dreaming. Well, we need to pass that to somebody. I need to pass it. You know, if I am not willing to go out, let me tell you, my office, yeah, I have a beautiful office, but I really spend very little time in my office. I have three or four ladies already knocking on my door, but it's not the office. The office is not the place that you're gonna be with people. You need to be going out and give yourself to people. Encourage. If you give the opportunity to one child, you have made a difference for the kingdom of God, for the Salvation Army, and for the life of that child. I think we need to go and not just focus on the people that it looks like me. We need to focus on the people that doesn't look like me, because in those kids, and they may not look like me, not everybody is an Einstein in that culture. We have so many Einsteins all over the world, and we need to find those treasures, and we need to go and seek them. We were talking not too long ago, you know, that the father of the church, they were not European. They were African, and they expand the whole entire gospel all over the place. They were not Europeans, the ones that the disciples, they were not. They were people of color, and we need to really go. I'm glad that the Caucasians, they bring all that intellectual, and they bring all that organization. But we are part of the body, and we need to start seeing everybody really as part of the body and bring opportunities to diversify our army.
One last thing I want, if you could share, you and I, we were talking about that first, or what was it, every Tuesday?
First Tuesdays
that you go to? First Tuesdays. You had said they were like a similar illustration that was shared at commissioning last year about,
yes,
like, the invitation,
the General
Mills
CEO, he was saying, you know, he's not just bringing people to the table. It is making their ideas, their knowledge, being part of the whole entire culture. It's not just sitting them at the table and not listening to them. But diversity and inclusion happens when you start taking their thinking and their ideas into practice. It's not just sitting at the table. That is diversity, sitting at the table. But inclusion is when everybody's ideas are important and really taking into an action those ideas. So I think the army is not just bringing me into as a divisional secretary, but it's accepting some of the ideas that I have. It's accepting my accent. It's accepting my love for God. Kind of learning to know who I am in the body of Christ, and then allowing to pump the blood. You know, allowing to be part of this big army and the ideas. I really love my division commander because he really takes on action on that, you know, for me to be pushed into those meetings with the governor or with the mayors of the city or the representatives or the TV interview. It's like, come on, go and give your opinion and go and talk to them and give them what we think. It's like, but what about if I'm wrong? Go and do it.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, okay, I'll go.
Yeah. I learned this. It sounds a lot like this concept I learned a few years ago at Youth Specialties called Spotlight Leadership, where you take the other person, basically, and you, like, put them in the spotlight instead of yourself. And saying, look at all these people I lead.
Yeah.
Like, really saying, okay, now it's your turn. You go. And that's always stuck with me, spotlight leadership. Like, who around me in my sphere of influence as a leader can I put into the spotlight and say, your voice, your contribution is important. Yeah,
and he, that's what he's doing to me right now. He's like, oh, make the decision. He's like, no, but this decision is too big for me to make it. Do it. He's like, okay, I'll do it. I mean, I'm assertive. I have that on me, but I, what about if I made a mistake?
Yeah.
You're sure? Okay, I'll do it. He's like, well, what is going to cost us? What is going to be? You have to be. He's like, okay, I'll do it. And you, I'm grateful for all the opportunities that God is giving me. And I'm grateful for the people that God has put in my life, you know, to be able to grow as a leader. Am I intimidated? Yeah, there is some intimidation. Are there some frustration? Yeah, there are some frustrations sometimes. Life is not going to be easy nowhere. Life is going to be hard in the Salvation Army or outside of the Salvation Army. It's just how you see and how you allow God to work through you through the difficulties that every one of us is going to be encountering. And so I'm going to encourage everybody that is listening, you know, to continue growing in your love for God and to continue seeing those around you and give the opportunity to one of those around you to be, to mold, to give your ideas and your future into that child, into that person, into that one that has not had the opportunities to be somebody. Give the chance to somebody to be somebody.
That was a great closing.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Captain Bersa. I've learned a lot from you sharing from your experiences.
Well, I'm glad. Thank you for this opportunity.
Yeah, thank you again. Thank you, Captain Bersa, for sharing from your experiences and wisdom. Listeners, we hope you leave today feeling prepared and equipped for tomorrow.